The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
It's time now for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time on KCBS, we're giving you direct access to top experts in various fields. Today, we are diving deep into the decision by RFK Jr. to cut $500 million in mRNA vaccine development.
This comes amid ongoing concerns about bird flu, measles, and back-to-school health trends. To talk about this and more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central News Line by Dr. William Schaffner, Professor of Preventive Medicine at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. And Dr. Schaffner, thanks as always for joining us to discuss this important topic.
Good to be with you, Eric.
I guess first, your thoughts about this.
Well, I was disappointed and actually somewhat distressed, because we shouldn't foreclose development of new vaccines with any technology. You know, mRNA is no longer new. It's been studied for about 20 years, and now the mRNA COVID vaccines have been used around the world in the millions upon millions of doses, and all the ministries of health around the world have decided that these vaccines are both safe and effective. And of course, they allow us to develop new vaccines quickly. This is particularly important if we're faced with a new pandemic. Bird flu could strike any time, or we could get a new COVID strain that's much more virulent that appears. So we don't want to foreclose any technology going forward.
I want to go in the Wayback Machine with you. If we could go in a time capsule and go back. You've been a friend to KCBS all through the pandemic. Now it's been, 5 years. But back then, before we had a vaccine, people were so nervous. And can you talk about how important it was that we were all so nervous that we finally got the vaccine? And then I want to get into some of the claims about new mutations and prolonging pandemics. But just take us back to that time and how important the mRNA vaccine was.
Well, Marty, back then, of course, COVID came on the scene, and we hadn't seen COVID before. So this was something brand new. Using conventional technologies would have taken us much longer, much, much longer, to develop a vaccine. So the mRNA technology, which had been at that time studied for 20 years already, was brought to the fore, and we successfully developed a vaccine, were able to manufacture the vaccine in large amounts and deploy it across the country and then subsequently also around the world. An extraordinary triumph, and it put many people at ease, and it has kept many millions of people out of the hospital, literally around the world, and saved millions of lives.
What evidence supports the claim that mRNA vaccines encourage new mutations and prolong pandemics?
The scientific consensus is that that is incorrect. In fact, we have abated this pandemic. It's become less serious. It hasn't gone away completely. Obviously, COVID is still with us, but the pandemic is over. And so now we have to deal with COVID in an ongoing fashion. So the use of the vaccine doesn't promote more virulent variants of the virus.
So Secretary Kennedy says he wants to promote other types of vaccines, some maybe that won't be as susceptible to mutations in the virus. That sounds like it might take a while.
It likely will take a while, and we don't want to foreclose any technology that could get us better vaccines of all kinds in the future. You know, these vaccine scientists have now been trying to work on mRNA vaccines against certain kinds of cancers, for example, or other respiratory viruses that most folks haven't heard about that are out there, also active in the winter. Parainfluenza, metapneumovirus, viruses known only to the infectious disease community, but they're out there. And developing vaccines against them is important. You know, the prevention of disease is medicine's most noble and highest goal. And to quote Benjamin Franklin, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
So the statement from RFK Jr. appears to contradict what you're saying and the widely accepted scientific consensus. Who are the experts that RFK consulted for this decision?
Well, Marty, I can't speculate about that, but I think you have characterized it correctly that the scientific community is in a consensus supporting mRNA vaccines as currently used and encouraging its use to develop further vaccines, which is not to say that other technologies shouldn't also be explored. There may well be many roads to Rome.
The role of vaccines in preventing disease, can you break it down for us?
Well, the development of vaccines that we use widely in infancy, childhood, and increasingly in adulthood has been determined one of the great public health advances of the last and the current century. So they have prevented millions and millions of infections. Let's just mention polio, for example. We vaccinate all of our children, polio is gone, and we're very close to eliminating polio from the entire world's population. These sorts of things could never have been conceived of without the development and deployment of vaccines.
Would you say it's fair to say that maybe vaccines have been victims of their own success here?
That's often been said, Eric, because we have eliminated such diseases as measles, except for their recent recurrence, and we now have two generations of parents who have no experience of the disease. And when you don't see the disease and fear it for your children, it's difficult to value the vaccines. But we need to keep our guard up. Otherwise, as with measles, these diseases could return and turn back the clock to the bad old days.
The pulling of this $500 million in funding for vaccine development, I mean, I don't know how to characterize how much 500, it sounds like a big number to me, but I'm just wondering, what is the economic impact of a move like this on the U.S. biotech sector? I mean, what does this mean for our place in the world with public health?
The United States has worked in public-private partnerships in order to develop vaccines. The government often provides seed money so that vaccine scientists, both in academia and also in vaccine manufacturers, can work on new vaccines on a risk basis. Because, believe me, every vaccine that's worked on doesn't work out. And so you have to do a lot of scientific preparatory work. And this basic work is often what is funded. And so that will slow the development of better, improved, and more widespread use of the mRNA technology going forward.
Yeah, we've been pretty much limiting our discussion to these vaccines. I'm wondering about Vanderbilt and the rest of the universities threatened by the loss of research funding, how things are working out there, what concerns you have about the future as regards to that?
Well, that's been a big problem that all scientific institutions have been coping with in the recent days. And that sound you hear is all of us tightening our belts, because we have had to look very critically at every dollar that's come in, many of them profoundly reduced, and we're doing what we can to remain to contain the damage and maintain our research infrastructure. So it's been difficult, and it's affected every major research area in the country.
Do you think that this this decision with the funding will impact the public trust in vaccines and public health agencies? I mean, we're coming in. This is like the time of year we're coming up on where we're going to want people to get their flu vaccines, COVID vaccines. You think we'll see a you know, less of an uptake in that this year?
I'm afraid so, Marty, because there's been so much confusing information contrary to standard scientific and medical recommendations recently that it can just raise questions in the minds of every person out there. What's going on? Why are these messages suddenly being confusing when years ago they were very coherent and straightforward? And when there's confusion, people's doubts are raised and they are more cautious about receiving vaccines.
So how are you going to win those folks back?
I think we have to persist and remain optimistic, provide a basis of science for these recommendations, and then provide people a level of comfort and reassurance that goes to their hearts, not so much to their heads, that getting vaccines are the best thing for their individual, those individual persons, for their families, and indeed for their whole communities.
Just one final question. What would you tell our listeners with regards to vaccines, specifically as we enter the fall? What would you say to people?
Marty, what I would say is disease bad, vaccines good. Speak to your doctor, your provider, if you have questions.
Where are we seeing the increase in disease, childhood or adult, from people skipping these vaccines for whatever reason?
Well, most notably, Eric, we have had any number of outbreaks of measles that have occurred throughout the United States, most prominently in West Texas, but also in other areas, because families, interestingly enough, middle and upper middle class families who have been withholding their children from measles vaccination. And that's left them susceptible. And when this virus, which is still active internationally, is imported into this country, well, then it finds those susceptible children, causes infections, and we've registered already 3 deaths in this country due to measles, something that we haven't seen for 10 years at all.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We've been joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Professor of Preventive Medicine at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, Dr. William Schaffner. You can listen to this entire interview and past Ask an Expert on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.